I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Chang.
And we're too damn young to be this damn confused.
I thought MCM was a new party drug.
I thought taking an L was a sex position.
Isn't Salt Bay a town on Long Island?
We don't know,
but we do care.
So we're talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
We are doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you.
Because let's face it,
you want to be less old too.
OMFG! Well, hello. Hi.
How are you
doing?
Oh, great.
Great.
Oh, super. So I know I talked to you about the young girl who's coming in.
Yes.
Safara. Mm-hmm. I met her through a friend. She is a doula.
I love that.
I don't quite know what a doula does, but I am meeting with doulas.
You are right now.
In a process of selecting, perhaps. I don't know. I'm not fully
committed.
Correct. To having a doula.
Right.
It sounds so fancy. It just sounds like a fancy word. I'm really into it. I want it.
I feel like it's a very, you know, when you have a doula, I feel like you're one with your body and you're one with your pregnancy and you're, you know.
It feels very earth mother.
Yes.
But I have not been earth mother through this process in any way, shape, or form. So there's part of me that's like, eh.
Right.
Do I need that? Because there are a lot of things that like, people throw at you.
Yes.
That feel like
you have to do it.
You must do this. Mm-hmm. I had this and this was amazing.
You must doula this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying on doulas at the moment. And so I met Safara and I just was blown away. She's 24. She's badass. She got into this because she's like passionate about women and their rights. And it was just very like, she's cool.
That's so cool.
So I said to her, I was like, look, not sure where I stand on the doula.
Yeah.
But will you come talk to us?
Hey, it was worth it. We need her. I mean, it's really great to have a young person in who's, you know, figured out what they want to do in life and what a cool avenue she's going down.
It's so
rare. I can't wait to hear, you know, how she got there and what she's doing with it. I did want to let you know,
please,
something that happened to me, which felt like adjacent to when I went to the doctor and I had the wisdom spot on my skin, which was AKA
an age spot,
which, I mean, it was so upsetting.
Okay.
Are you looking at it right now?
No.
Do you see it?
Is it red?
No, that is from a bad eyebrow wax, but we'll talk about that at another time and place. But I had...
You're like, are you looking at? I'm like, I don't know. When you got a red dot.
Over here?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not it. So, good. It's over here. Don't look at it. So, I was like, this is such a OMFG host moment.
Okay.
I got my eyes checked.
Mm-hmm.
Seems pretty...
I love it. Sounds
right.
Like you're
so far,
doing
so
what
good.
You should be doing in life.
And I said to her, you know, I think my eyeglass prescription is off.
Sure.
I haven't gotten new glasses for like 3 years. So I'm like, you know, something's off. And I'm like, and I have to take my glasses down to read.
To read. Oh, boy.
And she was like, okay. And she did my eye test. And then she said, well, I don't think you need bifocals yet. And I was like, what did you just say to me? I'm like, bifocals?
Yeah.
Did you say bifocals? I'm like, I wouldn't take bifocals from you right now, you know? Like, get off of me.
Yep.
Do you know?
So did she offer like a blended?
No, because I don't need it. What we learned is that I don't need it. And by the way, with contacts, I don't need it on any level.
Thank God.
With the glasses, I think she said, you know, what does start to go, well, it all starts to go, but like your... You know, you're going to be bringing it. If you bring it too close, it's actually trouble. You need to keep it a little further away, I think. If you're reading something, I don't know. I went radio silent after I heard.
No, but that's still
bifocal.
A move. You know, when you like, when you go to the restaurant with the old folks and they hold the menu out in front of them.
I'm like, I can see, like, right now with the context, why are you saying it like that?
Well, bifocals are happening. I mean,
Emily,
it's going to happen.
You mean?
I don't mean to be mean.
You're hurting my feelings.
I came
to you for support and love, and you're in full alignment with this eye doctor.
When you were explaining about where you needed to hold the paper, it felt
so what
real.
I'm up to right now, I don't need to hold the paper anywhere.
That's right. Rip it up.
The paper, I am no longer working with paper. that was my solution.
I think it's good. Yeah. Roll with that.
Yep. Yep. Should we bring her in?
Let's do it.
Okay, great.
OMFG! Whew. Well, we are here with 24-year-old, stunning, doulesse. That means a doula with an S on the end.
Is that a real?
I just made it
up.
Okay,
great.
Safara, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, as I was saying in the intro, we met because I'm doula searching, and I was just so impressed. She's such a lovely gal.
And she knows what she wants.
So young.
I mean,
we all love the youth. You know how much we love the youth.
That's all we love.
We love when the youth know what they want. So tell us your hopes and dreams.
Well, right now I feel really, really fortunate to be a doula full time. I'm in school full time, health sciences, hopefully becoming a midwife eventually. So yeah, those are my dreams right now to kind of figure out my midwifery path, because there's a few different ways to get there. And in the meantime, doing what I love.
That's awesome. And maybe you can break down for us the difference between midwife and doula.
Right. So doulas are emotional support, physical support, mental support. We're not medical staff. We're not people that are doing medical procedures, giving medical advice. We're there to support people who are giving birth and are pregnant and who are dealing with the postpartum phase. And then midwives are more on the medical side of things. They're allowed to do depending on what type of midwife you are as well, because that depends. There's multiple different types of midwives. Some of them work in the hospital. They're actually helping deliver the babies. They're doing well woman checkups. They're doing anything that a doctor would do at times, being an OBGYN.
Yeah, I've heard a couple people through this process, or I've met a couple people who are delivering with the midwives at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a common thing.
Yeah.
And so
those are nurse midwives. Yeah.
Right. So is there a doctor?
Yeah. So the cool thing about UCLA, their doctors are trained by midwives, which I think is incredible. I've had a lady that delivered at UCLA with one of those doctors. You can tell night and day difference between those doctors and other doctors. There's a midwife on staff, and the beautiful thing about it, they're handling the low-risk pregnancies, the low-risk births, the ones that are normal, run-of-the-mill, everyday births that there's not likely to be something that goes on. And then just in case, there's a doctor there. There's surgeons there. There's people there that
can
combine skills, because midwives have a certain set of skills, doctors have a certain set of skills, and then anything that could possibly go wrong, they're there.
They're covered.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's great.
I think it's really cool.
And what made you want to get involved with all this birthing?
I think a lot of doulas, we just feel this calling. You see a need, and you know that you can fill it, and you know that it would fulfill you and make you happy. So I was seeing the numbers. I was seeing the disparities within the Black community and within the queer and trans community when it comes to pregnant people that need help and they need support, and sometimes all they need is someone to speak up for them. And I knew that I could fill that role, and I knew that would make me happy.
How did you see this?
I was actually, funny story, I was on Tumblr, and a post came up about what is a doula, why are they so needed, how you can get trained. I clicked on the link. I tell this story all the time, but it's so coincidental. I think it was serendipitous. I clicked on the link, and it said, get trained these places. The first place on the link was in my neighborhood, and the training was a week later. So I signed up. I used my last little bit of money back in Brooklyn just to sign up for this training. I got trained, and I just knew this is where I'm supposed to be.
I love it. That's making me emotional.
Right?
'Cause it's first of all, it's so millennial to
find it
actually tumble across it, you know. But you know, that's just an amazing story that is guiding that moment guided mm-hmm. your life's work potentially.
Yeah. And my original plan was to be an OBGYN. And then the more research I did, the more I was like, this is so impersonal. Not that there aren't great OBGYNs out there that are personal, but you kind of lose the human aspect when you're delivering X number of babies a day, you're dealing with X number of patients a day. Over a course of time, it's kind of hard to not see people as a number.
Right.
It's putting the human aspect into it.
And so what you said that there was a lack of support in the Black and gay and trans communities.
Right.
What does that look like? How did you know that? Like, what, why?
Right. So within the Black community and the Latino community and in the Asian community, but specifically the Black community, our babies and mothers are dying 3 to 5 times more than our white counterparts.
Wow.
And that's due to lack of education and lack of...
support?
Good care in the hospital, good care postpartum.
Mm-hmm.
So doulas really fill that gap there, and we're lowering these numbers actively. We've been proven to lower these numbers. And then within the queer and trans community, I've gotten queer couples that have reached out to me, and they're like, hey, we're looking for a doula that understands where we're coming from as a queer couple. I want my same-sex partner to have rights while I'm in the hospital. At the time, they, like, couldn't get married, and they're like, we want someone to understand and to advocate for us, and, like, maybe even someone that's been there, maybe even a queer doula. And I'm like, hey, I'm queer, and, like, I understand where you're coming from, and I can help navigate this system with you.
Wow.
That's incredible. It's like there's so much you don't think about, you know?
Right.
And you know, it's interesting. And unfortunately, you've spent a lot of time in hospitals and, like, know that you need an advocate. And,
absolutely.
And to know that, like, you may be treated differently just based on, you know, anything that you're walking in with. But with birth and, like, the same-sex couple, it's, like, not even anything I've ever
thought of,
which is shameful to say.
But it's
true.
Not like, the answer. Like, I was thinking, oh, I wonder. I mean, I understood, you know, probably why, but that did not cross my mind.
Right.
And that's huge.
Yeah, and there's so many other factors at play which is why we need more doulas that are part of these communities, so they have thought about these things, you know, or can help educate about these things to other doulas. I'm speaking, I believe, in March to other doulas about, this is what the situation is. This is what our reality is as queer trans women of color.
Incredible. So when you go through the training, do they go through any of that kind of stuff, like how to best advocate for specific people?
Right. So the first training I did was with Ancient Song Doula Services back in Brooklyn, and they're entirely Black owned and operated. So that was a big focus of it, because the women that we were serving were from Brooklyn, and they were from these impoverished areas of New York because I don't know if you've been, but the wage disparities are so high. You're either really wealthy or you're living with multiple other families in the same apartment. These people are impoverished, and so was I. So we spoke on that, and then I trained with Doula Trainings International, and we spoke. We had a section on that as well, but it wasn't as much the basis. But they do a good job of making sure everyone's completely aware. Like, you might be coming from a totally different walk of life, and these are things that you might run into.
So when you're supporting the just the nuts and bolts of, like, what you're doing when you're supporting the mom, right? What?
I'm laughing because I was talking to my brother today because it just occurred to me to ask him, did he ever have a doula? And he said, yeah, you know, we got this girl who was training. You know, she was just trying to get her numbers up. Mm-hmm. And she brought cookies.
I was like, wait, what? I was like, I don't think you had a good doula experience.
Yeah, that doesn't
sound. Nuts and bolts. Cookies.
Cookies.
Did she charge?
I think they paid her like $100.
Right, so $100 cookies.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good call. So there's cookies. And then also, what else is going on? Like, so, how do you walk? What are some of the things that, you know, pregnant women want to sit next to? should you know, kind of know, like, what are some of the, what are you up to with them?
I think a lot of it is depending on where they're coming from.
Okay.
Because it's hard to have a one-size-fits-all, I guess, care plan mm-hmm. for anyone. So first we're doing prenatal meetings, prenatal appointments, whatever you want to call it, where I'm basically prepping them mentally and emotionally to be in this really vulnerable state and this really powerful, beautiful experience in a hospital or at a home birth or wherever they choose to birth. So a lot of it's education, providing resources, talking about how are we going to navigate through this together. And then in the hospital, it's a lot of setting the mood lighting, setting the candles up, or not the candles, but the little LED candles.
Those and
the
candles. That's nice.
The yeah. aromatherapy, and it's massaging, and it's all the like really sweet things to make you feel better, but it's also, is your nurse talking to you?
Right.
Is she coming in and telling you something and talking at you, or is she speaking with you and making sure that you know exactly, like your informed consent, is that being prioritized right now? Mm-hmm. How is the hospital? And it's not my job to speak for you. It's more my job to
look at everything.
Right, to do that, but to let you know what your options are and make sure that your decisions are being respected and that your decisions are decisions that you truly feel in your heart are right for you. And then helping with postpartum, that could look like breastfeeding, that could look like making you a meal because you haven't had the energy to cook for yourself, or holding the baby while you take a nap, or helping you mm-hmm. figure out if you have postpartum depression or if you're healing properly. Because I'm not a doctor, but I know when something doesn't look right, and to right. tell you, hey, go talk to your doctor about that, that doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah.
So you're taking a looky-loo down there?
No, you're not. No, okay. We're just talking about it.
Okay.
Taking a peeksy-weeksy.
Right. If you come to me and tell me, like, hey, I got, like, green stuff coming out of my yeah. incision, there's something wrong, yeah. I tell you to go to the doctor.
Oh, right.
You know, stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, there's some nurses where I have to stop and ask my client, hey, does she make you uncomfortable? After she's in, hey, are you uncomfortable right now, or are you fine? I'm fine. Okay, then that's fine. But if you're uncomfortable, please tell me.
And then what will you do?
I'm not doing anything at that point. I'm okay. telling them, I'm like encouraging them to speak up, but
got
I'm
it.
Not like.
You're just evaluating mm-hmm. and then you're empowering the mom
right.
or dad to make moves.
Right. I think I was telling you about this the other day. There was a girl, 17 years old that I was working with, minority, unmarried, didn't have a job. And she was giving birth, but beforehand I went to an appointment with her. Spoke with one of the doctors with her. I sat down. I was just like sitting in the room with her and her doctor. And her doctor was like being very, very disrespectful. And I could see she just like kind of shut down.
Yeah.
And then after he left the room, we walked out to the parking lot to get in the car. And I saw her face was very, very just like mm-hmm. she was distraught.
Broken.
Yeah, she was very broken. So I just looked at her and I just said, F that guy. And she, like, her face lit up and she's like, oh, you're right. You're totally right. Like, she didn't want to say it.
Right.
She didn't want to say anything bad about this doctor because she was scared to speak up for herself. And all I had to do was say F that guy. And she suddenly was like, yeah, he couldn't say that to me. He should have told me about this sooner, that I had high blood pressure and like this, that, and the third. And that's all I have to do is just encourage them to speak up for themselves.
That's nice. I mean, it's such a weird power dynamic
right.
between you and your doctor. And it's nice to know that there's someone there who's like, they don't hold all the secrets. They're not like these magicians. Like, let's get through this.
And it's not like us versus them at all. And I don't like to go in with that mentality because it kind of causes problems. But
right.
Just talking, because I've had one nurse that was just awful. Mm. And then I just like, left the room. My client was in like an early labor. We just like left the room. I like pulled the nurse to the side. I was like, hey, I'm not trying to be offensive. We just talked it through. And it turns out she's a great person. She was just like probably having a bad day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So situations like that can be like easily diffused, and it's not always black and white.
Can you just do that with me every day throughout my whole day? Just pull people aside, have these conversations, just like clear the way.
Right. Life doula.
Life doula, yeah. That is an open lane
mm-hmm.
that you could snatch up if you wanted to.
I have a coworker I'd love to put you in touch with.
I got you.
I mean, should we take a little break or?
Let's do
yeah.
it.
Okay, great.
OMFG.
Some people still don't really get podcasts, like why they're special and how to listen.
You can change that. You think of a friend or a family member, or anyone you care about. What podcast would they be into?
Whether it's a show you think they'd find funny, informative, or gripping, tell them about it.
We want everyone to know how great podcasts are. So all of this month, we're asking you to spread the word, either in real life or on social media, about your favorite shows.
And if your friends don't know how to listen to podcasts, show them how. Or send them to trypodcasts.org.
Tell us what show you recommend with the hashtag TRYPod.
That's hashtag tripod.
OMFG.
Okay.
All right.
We are back.
We're back.
That felt very NPR of us. Okay, that like sketch.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. How are you? Good, good. Wonderful.
Great.
So we're here with Safara.
That's right.
That's right.
A Brooklyn gal, which we learned because she's got Brooklyn tattooed across her fingers.
Brooklyn knuckles.
Do have Brooklyn knuckles.
So you are tattooed. I see quite a few.
Yeah.
Are there more that we cannot see?
Just my arms. People ask that. It's really nothing exciting. Just my arms, my chest.
That's
my
a
hands.
Lot. Where else? I'm so sorry.
People are like, oh, you have your back. Do you have your back done? Do you have your like butt done? Do you have like your stomach done? I'm scared.
Is the butt a place to?
Yeah, well, people get like whole back tattoos that go into like the butt and then all the way down the legs. Like I had a professor that had like a full body tattoo like that.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Just so much time.
I'm really scared. And also, money. You can't see your butt every day. Like, there's tattoos on the backs of my arms. I forget they're there because you can't see them every day.
Right. They're a treat for others.
Right, right. Someone's like, oh, I like that tattoo. I'm like, which one? And then I was like, oh, that one I forgot I had. I got it like 5 years ago.
Well, the funny thing is, just to give you a sense of things, because you're living in a time where people have these tattoos this way and that way.
Mm-hmm.
Backs, butts. Arms, legs, the whole thing. Growing up in high school, like, I remember, no one in high school had a tattoo. No. I remember I remember having some sort of discussion about tattoos, and it was like bikers, you know?
Prisoners.
Prisoners, bikers.
Mm-hmm. Sailors.
Sure.
Right.
But not just the gen pup.
No. And there were, but they were like, like, for me, there was, like, this place where you would go and, like, the punks were on the corner and they had the tattoos.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I forgot them.
Right.
Punks. Then in college, the people, like, friends who would get a tattoo, it was one.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was barbed wire around their arm. But it wasn't a plethora.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a sleeve. It wasn't, were you laughing at the barbed wire?
Well, just because my husband has like the bands that he got when he was like 18 or whatever, but that was what you did.
Yeah, you got a band. You did.
Yeah.
I mean, in my wedding pictures, there's like a table of my college girlfriends and they're wearing dresses at the wedding, like sleeve, like, you know, strapless. And I'm like, look at those dumbass fucking bands that are still playing themselves with them bands.
Well, it's funny because it was such a trend.
Yeah.
Like there's these tattoo trends that happen.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Right.
that is the thing that as a like elder person
that
I do always get nervous because I'm like, I know that my friends are like, why do I have barbed wire on my arm? But they just have the one, you know? And so if you have, because the trends are trends and they'll always be, like, things change and they move and they evolve.
Right.
So do you have any concern that 30 years from now, 20 years from now, 15 years from now, you'll be like, oh, why did I do that?
No, honestly, like, sometimes my hands, because I can't cover those up, like, there's no way. And, like, my tattoo artist had a talk with me before, and, like, just so you know,
right,
you can't cover this up with a long-sleeve shirt. Like, I want to make sure that you're aware. And, like, the guy that did my knuckles told me that. And then the guy that did my hand was, like, on the phone with me before he did the tattoo, like, hey, do you already have visible tattoos that you can't cover with sleeves? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And that's the only way he would do it. Because he's like, I don't tattoo people in those areas that don't already have it.
Wow.
So, like, sometimes with that, but, like, with my arms, I, like, try to do pieces that are more artistic and less, like, a trend, a current right. trend. Like, I have, like, abstract pieces on my arms, and I have, like, a really big butterfly and, like, fire, like, whatever. It's not, like, a specific trend. So not too much.
So far, so good.
So far, yeah. so good. Okay, yeah. Good.
I also do kind of have faith that, like, tattoo removal mm-hmm. will only get better and better
yeah,
for people.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's really not
It's bad. Not bad? They're, like, thwapping you.
I've gotten laser hair removal.
Girl, it's
and
different.
And it didn't hurt at all.
Laser hair removal is different than burning yeah. ink off of your flesh. Mm-hmm. It's a different situation.
Yeah.
I promise you.
But also cover-ups. Cover-ups are a total possibility.
What's a cover-up?
Like, you get a tattoo on top of your
oh,
tattoo.
Yeah.
yeah.
You're golden with that.
Then you're just, like, extra cool. Because, like, now you still have just the same number of tattoos. Like, you didn't, like, lose your cool.
That's right. right.
You know.
You've evolved.
Upgraded.
Yeah, you yeah. upgraded. I like that. You mm-hmm. upgraded your yeah. tattoo.
Yep.
Cool.
My husband is covered on his stomach and chest. Little, you can see a little, like he has a little peekaboo up on yeah. his neck. And I'm terrible because I don't have a tattoo. Mm-hmm. I've never considered a tattoo. And I always tell him, I'm like, I can accept what exists here, but like any more doesn't seem like a great idea
see,
to me.
See, that's what, I don't want to make you feel old, but my mom tells me that
yeah.
mm-hmm. about my ears because I'm stretching and every oh, size, yeah. she's like, as long as you don't go any bigger than that, I think that's a perfect size. And then I stretch again. Now, I think that's a perfect size.
Should we? We had your dad on.
We did.
What did he say?
Well, he just said, "I don't. What are the youths doing with these ear stretching? Like, why is this happening?" And mm-hmm. we actually didn't have the answer.
We didn't.
Right.
Came up with not too much.
Not too much.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Firstly, I think it's because it's cool.
Okay.
And it's decorative and it's nice, but also. Me personally, I'm West African, and it's in our culture, we do this. Like, we started this, like, along right. with Central and South Americans. It's not, like, a new thing. It's something that's just kind of making a comeback.
Gotcha. And so, are you planning on going? Like, here's the thing. The funny thing is that at this point, I didn't even, like, drop in
no.
those circles.
No,
you know
either.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's so...
It's complex.
Things... but they're...
You just dropped into
it's it's not a shocker anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh, there's holes.
She's got
there's
space.
There's yeah. things there
you can
in
see
the ear.
All the way through my ear.
yeah. And yeah. like, yeah. okay. I mean, if the discs were out, mm-hmm. that might be a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
Because they hang then a little bit, right? They droop without the discs.
I don't know. I've rarely ever taken yeah. them out keep other them than in. Like yeah. cleaning.
Them, yeah. yeah.
well, you know, I don't know what could happen. I guess they're covered. It's not like they're going to get infected.
No.
They're just skin.
It's all yeah. skin.
It's all skin. Skin, skin, skin. People are nipping and tucking and stretching and moving things around.
That's right.
You gotta stick with what you got.
It all goes.
Yeah, it's all going to go. It's all going to go.
That's true. And it all
we
goes.
All will die.
So back to birth.
Yeah.
no, we also have a question.
Yeah.
That it came from the Instagram today.
It did. We asked, we said we have a youth coming in and we have some questions.
Okay. So at Cogriff wants to know from the youths, mm-hmm. and we're hoping you can help us. What is this rain drop top business? Please help.
Why are you laughing? Do you know what you're laughing about?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a song.
Rain okay. drop drop top.
That's how the song starts out. He just like he's saying things like in the first line is rain drop drop top.
Who?
I honestly couldn't tell you his name. Like I'm not even that hip. Like I'm not young enough, but the song's called Bad and Bougie.
Oh, that was another question. What's bougie? Yeah. Which I feel very clear on, but maybe not. Maybe you know how sometimes things change. Like I feel I have a firm grip on.
Okay,
bougie.
What do you think it is?
Bougie is when someone's essentially trying to act fancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like probably not 100%. Like they probably don't have the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
to support the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if I were to march into, Earwolf mm-hmm. with like a flask of champagne, Dom Perignon.
And flask, just by the way.
But like bedazzled.
Not yeah. a bottle.
Yeah.
A
I mean yeah, a flask. That's how bougie I am. I put in a flask. Mm-hmm. And I like poured it out here at the table and yeah. I was like, Dom, everyone, you'd be like, oh, she's being so bougie. It's a weird example, but you get you, yeah, you no, catch my
that's
drift.
Pretty accurate. Even I mean, I guess even if you don't have the big account, you can be bougie, but like also like stuck up somewhat. But,
yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty spot on.
Thank you. So I wonder if, who do we have here, Emily?
Well, I wanted to look up who the artiste mm-hmm. of Bad and Bougie mm-hmm. was, and it's Migos.
Migos, yeah.
Migos.
Now,
should
is
we
that
play
one
a little?
Person, or is that?
I'm pretty sure it's one.
One person.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
We'll play a little.
We'll
Let's
play
get
a
our,
little.
Get our ear holes in there.
You know, young rich niggas.
Oh.
You know, so we ain't really never had no old money.
Okay.
We got a whole lot of new money, though.
What I'm talking about right now, mm-hmm. by the way.
Hey! Raindrops, drop top, smoking, no cooking, the hot box. Cooking, fucking on your bitch, yeah, dot, dot, dot. Cooking up dope in the crock pot, pot. Nothing or something, nigga. Hey. I don't try nobody, grit the trigger. Nobody call up the gang and they come and get gang. Cry me a river, give you a tissue. Bad and
bullshit.
Cooking up dope with a Uzi. Bah. My niggas are savage, ruthless. Savage. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. Krah. My bitch is bad and bullshit. Bad. Cooking up
I'm
dope with
it.
A Uzi. My niggas are savage, ruthless.
I'm with it.
Storing that in my memory banks.
There was a lot of cooking references there. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
There was a crock pot.
Yeah.
Cooking it bad and bougie.
And now I'm realizing my...
Not spaghetti.
What?
They're
they
not,
say not spaghetti.
It's not. They're not cooking, like, food.
Are they cooking drugs?
Mm-hmm,
in
yes.
the crock pot?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. But that really doesn't clear up what raindrops, drop tops means.
But
maybe it's raining in their drop top.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or maybe they're out driving and it starts raining.
Smoking.
So they have to put
on cookie
the drop top up.
Mm-hmm. In the hot box.
Is that what they say?
Yeah. So it's
it's very complex.
We're just going to go through this.
Yeah.
Raindrops, drop tops.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking on cookie in the hot box. So maybe it's raining. They mm-hmm. have to put the thing up.
Right.
And then they hot box the car
with right. crack. Well,
crack?
With cookie.
With crack.
Which
cookies
is crack.
Crack. Well, now...
Can you really hot box crack?
I don't know.
Okay.
I hope not.
These guys are really up to stuff, these Bad and Bougies.
Fucking on your bitch, she a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not just
ho.
Once.
Cooking up dope in the crock pot.
Right.
Pot. Can you really cook up
crack
in a crock pot?
Probably. I've never tried.
Okay.
She's I'm like, I'm a doula. What do you want from me?
We come from nothing to something, N-word.
Respectable.
I don't trust nobody. Grip the trigger. Call up the gang. They come and get you. Cry me a river. Give you a tissue. Hey, my bitch is bad and bougie. I like it.
I mean, I was with the beat of it. You know, it had me dancing a certain kind of way, which felt great. The lyrics are, you know, I mean, breaking them down, there's a lot going on in there. More than meets the eye.
Look, there's a lot of crack.
More crack than expected.
More.
I mean, I hope we're not popularizing crack.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that what, like, a cocaine?
That's a new thing. That's kind of a new
like
thing.
That's, yeah. like, actually terrifying me right now. That's not okay. We can't be,
yeah.
like, enjoying crack as a nation.
Right. And, yeah, this is a new thing.
Crack is...
not. I mean, crack's not a new thing, but, like, acting
yeah.
like it's the cool thing to do is a new thing.
That's terrible. Crack is whack.
That's correct.
We learned that a long time ago, everybody.
Really?
People can't be doing crack. Okay, I just want everyone to know that. Just... Without question,
crack is
we cannot be enjoying crack mm-hmm. for as a pastime. You know?
No. I'm not enjoying crack.
Okay. That's really crack. Scaring me.
I'm not hip with it.
Now I'm like mad at Bad and Bougie because
Migos.
We can't be Migos.
Mad at Migos.
I'm mad at Migos.
But what if, like, I'm just going to throw out a scenario.
Okay.
The next time you're hanging out with your husband, Wing, and he's, like, introducing you to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, Paul, meet Deanna. My bitch is bad and bougie. Are you feeling good?
I would feel very complimented.
That's right.
Yes, I would.
That's right.
Yes, I would.
Right.
That's right. I'd be like, oh my God,
the ultimate compliment.
That's why I feel like this is a good song.
Yeah, I just want to remove the crack and then I'm good. Okay, I feel like there's another question if you're up for fielding. I mean, you are a youth.
I'm not as cool as
But you're pretty cool.
But aren't you?
Your knuckles say Brooklyn. You're pretty cool.
You know, you're right.
You know? Tam F. Nax, asked Bougie. So here we go. We explain that. That's done. We can check that off our list.
Bam.
Another cue, and this is making me laugh. Stetzosaurus asks us another question. Do they like fist bumps as much as adults think they do? That makes me laugh. It's so stupid. Do you guys like fist bumps?
No, not my friends. I'm not going to do it.
No, you're not. What if we came out with
If you came at me, I wouldn't be like rude and be like, I'm going to leave you hanging.
But you'd be like, ooh.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it like with my, I'm not going to come up to my friends like, hey.
Okay, so no, like no calm down bumps. With the fist bumps. Mm. I mean, really.
I mean, unless there's someone whose hand, like, you don't want to shake. Like, my neighbor always tries to shake my hand, and he's weird. Bump. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever thrown out a fist bump.
I have. Absolutely. Not only do I throw out fist bumps, I like to blow it up. Nobody wants to blow it up. Nobody. Nobody. But I like blowing it up, and I appreciate it when somebody blows it up with me. But
wow.
Yeah.
I'm taking you in.
And in a different light.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm doing it with some humor, but I also do like it. I really like blowing it up.
So maybe you're, like, doing it ironically, but it became
something you truly enjoyed.
I do love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will fist bump. Absolutely.
And I wouldn't leave you hanging. I don't consciously know that you have ever done that to me, but I'm sure I would have been respectful.
I haven't fist bumped you. You know what? I'm fist bumping usually, like, and here's this, that's why that's a great question. Younger dudes. That's where I would fist bump.
Maybe
you know?
They like it. I don't know. Maybe they're into that.
That seems.
I don't know, guys.
So, like, like Kevin, when you walk in here, are you fist bumping him?
No, it has to be the right moment, you know, or in a celebration. It's more celebratory, you know, like in a celebration, I'd fist bump.
I can see that.
Great.
And
everybody, including myself.
Yeah, no more fist bumping. No more. Like if you were like meeting, you know, at the hospital with someone giving birth, you wouldn't give her a fist bump.
Probably not.
No. Okay. Just now that you know that old people think that young people like that, will you throw out some fist bumps to old people?
Probably, yeah. Just to be that cool, like, young person that gets it.
You guys, I know you like this. Yeah.
That's like a hot tip, actually.
Yeah.
For the youths trying to make older people
feel better.
Yeah. There's always those youth that are like, oh, this generation, blah, blah, blah. I like Frank Sinatra. Like, those youth, they're the ones that would probably throw out the fist bump. Yeah.
We actually get a lot of those on the show.
We do.
Like, I'm an old youth.
Yeah, you know? I hear old soul all the time. Yeah.
It's exhausting.
All the time. You're not that old.
No, you're not that old. Yeah. You don't know that much. Your soul hasn't been through all that much. Relax.
Even if it has, it didn't carry over.
Right. Like, I'm 24 and I know I'm 24 mentally, physically. 24.
So in your friend group, when did you start doing this?
I was 21.
Okay, wow. So that is young. I mean, by 24, a lot of people have, like, their careers started.
Yeah.
Not in LA, but like in other parts of the country, people are beginning their careers.
That's fair.
But I feel like 21 is young.
Yeah.
No matter which way you slice it, to, you know, find a Tumblr article, click on it.
And decide, what I want to do with my life.
Yes. Yeah. So, was there anything up to that moment in your life in terms of, like, did you experience watching any childbirth, or was there a situation, like, in your own life, had you seen anything that brought you closer to that?
Yeah. So when I was little, my brother's a little bit older than me, so he went to school before I did, like 1 year before me. So that year, my grandma and I just, like, had a lot of time at home alone together, and we would watch A Baby Story on Lifetime every day. And I was, like, freaking out because I'm like, this is so scary. Like, that they make it look so terrifying, but
It penetrated.
Like I was fascinated, right? Yeah. I was fascinated. And then I think I decided I wanted to be an OB after that. Like a few years after that, I was like, I want to be an OBGYN mom.
See, there's never been a part of me that's like, I want to be up in all that vagina. Just not ever.
It doesn't faze me at all.
Really?
At all. Like really? It really, really doesn't.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
A lot of vagina.
I'm queer.
Especially in the birthing process, though. It's like, that's...
Yeah.
It doesn't look like vagina.
It doesn't, but like, I don't know. It really doesn't faze me at all.
Okay.
That's why you do what you do.
Yeah.
Because you're there for it, you know?
Right. I mean, it's just part of it. It's there.
Right. And it's part of the... it's probably part of the wonderful process. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're...
Yeah, when I'm in the birth, I'm not really thinking about it too much, like, as anything other than, like, this is where the baby's going to come.
Right.
You know?
And do your friends have their act together? Do they know what they want to do?
Yeah, I think a lot of my friends, I think we're living in a time right now where you can't really financially afford to not have a career, like, or like a million side hustles while you figure out what your career is going to be.
Yeah.
Cause financially the cost of living, like you've got to figure something out. But yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Right. God bless.
I know. I think we did.
This is so good. I love having you on. This was a great guest.
This was so much fun.
So good to have a youth doing something wonderful and inspirational. Really and truly, I feel inspired.
It's true. I feel like a lot of youth that we come across are a little bit more aimless, and it's very nice to
have. And we have a lot of entertainment industry people, so this mm-hmm. is just a really nice flavor.
Yeah.
You know, a little something different.
So
and good
you.
Luck with your midwife education.
Thank you.
And I hope everything goes great for you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Where do we find you? Can somebody hit you up if mm-hmm. they want to use you as a doula?
Yeah. So I just made a new email address just for doula services. It's safarathedoula@gmail.com.
And that's SAFARA.
Mm-hmm. The cool. doula, DOULA at great. Gmail.
Who can argue that?
I'm like, oh, that's not even where I've been emailing you. That is a fresh email.
It's brand new.
Oh.
Okay. Do you have a Twitter? You're not really involved
no.
in that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
great.
Too cool for Twitter.
Great, great, great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
OMFG!
Deanna and I want to tell you about a fascinating new podcast called Missing Richard Simmons.
Okay, so about 3 years ago, the fitness guru, Richard Simmons, he just disappeared.
Which is heartbreaking. He stopped teaching his exercise class at Slimmin's, cut off his closest friends, and removed himself from the public eye.
He had spent decades as one of the most accessible celebrities in the world.
But in the last 3 years, no one has seen him. Nobody knows why he left, and some think it wasn't his choice to disappear.
So filmmaker Dan Taberski was a Simmons regular and a friend of Richard.
Missing Richard Simmons is Dan's personal search for Richard.
Dan talks to Simmons. Can you do it?
Dan talks to Slimmin's regulars, famous fans, former friends and family to better understand who Richard is and why he left.
Missing Richard Simmons is not only the story of one of America's most iconic and misunderstood figures, it's also a quest to find him.
And the deeper Dan digs, the stranger the story gets.
I can't wait to hear how the story goes.
Subscribe now to Missing Richard Simmons in Stitcher or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
OMFG!
Safara, what a lovely gal.
Absolutely love her.
Yeah.
Special.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I just love that she is so who she is.
Yeah,
at
totally.
Such a young age. I think at 24, I was like still trying to be seven different people.
Oh, I mean, you know, I was off in a lot of directions.
I don't know what you were working at the gas company. I don't even know.
I was at the gas company. I was at Mel's Drive-In.
You were
I was
a Coachette girl.
I was a Coachette girl. I was in a turkey costume. I was doing too much.
A lot. You were extra.
And nothing.
Yeah.
Doing everything and nothing. And I love that, you know, she sees this need for the community she's associated with, and she's reaching, you know, she's providing a service
yeah.
and a resource for these women, which I love.
I loved it too.
I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster, and we are OMFG at OMFG Pod.
Thank you so much for listening. And you know what? Thank you to Timothy J. Parker of @Timbo71483. He said to us, at OMFG Pod, another great app. Definitely going to check out #TeacherSeries with @KatieColleton. #CarrotTop. #CarrotTop the Magician. #Keek.
Thank you so much, Timothy.
Bye.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Scott.
Have you ever heard of a tripod?
What are you talking about?
Oh, whoa. Okay.
I'm sorry. I came in a little hot on
that. Yeah, that was...
I apologize.
This is a big podcast awareness campaign happening throughout March.
Now, I know about podcasts, and I know, doing a podcast myself, I know a lot of people, they don't know what they are.
They don't even know what it is. So what we want people to do is to share your favorite podcast. It doesn't have to be ours. In fact, I would hate it if you shared mine.
You know what? I forbid you to share mine.
Exactly.
Let's say you know someone in your life who would probably enjoy a podcast if only they try it.
Right.
You could recommend a podcast that you think that person would like.
A lot of people, you know, listen to podcasts while they're working out. It takes their mind off of it. While they're working, it takes their mind off.
While they're doing laundry.
While they're driving.
Some people like to watch that video of a fox decomposing and listen to a podcast at the same time.
If you're one of these people, then you must know someone like that who would really enjoy podcasts, but they still don't really understand what they are or why they're special.
You could tell your friends how easy it is to listen to podcasts. There's maybe two steps to it. It's very simple.
Or send them to trypodcasts.org.
I didn't know there was a website. Why are we even talking about this?
They should just be going to the website. Why are they listening to us?
We should have just sent people to the website.
Tell us what show you recommended with the #tripod, TRYPOD.
And you're a daisy if you do.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.